Destiny War, Chapter 9. It took the Maori a long time to make it from Artadax back to Metronui, and Jawa's first thought upon arriving was that it had been way too long. Metronui was under attack. At first he thought that was Metronui. It was surrounded by high walls with weapons mounted atop them, weapons belching fire and smoke at the attackers. The walls were manned by warriors of all sorts, none of which Jawa recognized. Wait, check that. The Berserker battling three opponents at once looked a lot like Huki. What's going on, said Nuparu. It looks like we've walked into a full-scale war. It's been going on for a while, said Holly, but I think it's come home. It was an awesome sight. Ships flying the banner of the Brotherhood of Makuta ringed the island city. Flying Rakshi were assaulting from every direction, firing bolts of energy from their staffs, while others pounded on the walls. In one section, a portion of the wall had already crumbled, and warriors fought in the gap, trying to keep the invaders out. They're breaking through, shouted Nuparu. Let's go, said Jawa. We stand or fall with our city. The three Toa hit the gap from behind, using fire, water, and earth to tear through the ranks of Rakshi. They made it through the wall of the city. Beyond the ranks of Order of Mata Nui agents, they spotted the Turaga manning barricades. Jawa rushed up to Vakama. Turaga, what's happening? How did this battle begin? We can thank the Order for that, Vakama replied. Now our problem is how to end it before the city is destroyed. The Mask of Time, said Holly. Can one of us use it to, I don't know, slow down the Rakshi somehow? I wish you could, said Vakama, but the mask is gone, stolen by a dark hunter. He made the gap in the wall you came through. Jawa looked around. In his days as captain of the Takoro Guard, he had learned a thing or two about battle strategy. A quick glance was enough to tell him that the Order had badly underestimated the ferocity of the Makuta attack. The Rakshi had already gained the tops of the walls in three or four places, and in one southern section had made it inside the walls as well. As he watched, the defenders of the gap fell back, and the invaders began pouring through. We need an edge, said Jawa, something the Rakshi wouldn't expect. There are more Toa coming, but they won't get here in time, said Vakama. But there might be one Toa here now who could help us. Listen well. It was Holly who found the Toa in question, a Toa of Sonics named Krakua. When he heard Vakama's plan, he looked at her as if she had lost her mind. Let me get this straight, he said while blasting Rakshi with sonic beams. Vakama wants me to cycle through multiple frequencies until I find the one that will awaken something called the Barak? Yes, said Holly. We know, well, we suspect the signal that awakens them is sonic, but we don't know what it is or how to trigger it. If we can awaken the ones under Metronui, and if the Rakshi try to get in their way, well, it might buy us some time for something else we're planning. All right, I'll try, said Krakua. No promises. Holly left. Her next move was to be using her power to stir up the ocean to try to wreck the Makuta ships. But before she could do so, everything changed all around her. The stars brightened overhead. The breeze turned warm. The earth shook in a gentle tremor. She didn't know how, but somehow she was certain the Great Spirit had awakened. Beyond the city walls, a storm rose, tossing the Makuta fleet about like toys. Yet that did nothing to deter the Rakshi, who kept on coming. They had broken through the walls in four places and were rampaging through Tametru. Nothing could stop them, it seemed. At least until the ground erupted in front of them, and a horde of Barak emerged. It was not a large number, only those specimens that were asleep in the archives in the small nest below it. But it was enough. The Rakshi attacked immediately, and the Barak responded. The two sides were locked in combat, and as they fought, the Maori and the Order agents picked off Rakshi at will. The battle seesawed back and forth, with the Rakshi never realizing that all the Barak wanted was to get to the island of Mata Nui. Had the Rakshi just gotten out of their way, the fight would have been over. The city suddenly shook from a series of explosions. An Order agent atop the wall yelled, "Flyers incoming!" Holly looked up to see three incredibly fast aircraft soar over the city, bank as one, then head back toward where the ships waited. One slowed and dipped its wings at her, and she recognized Pohatu in the pilot's seat. The Toa Nuva had come home. Pohatu flew his vessel back out of the city to finish off the ships. Meanwhile, Lua and Kapaka dove, peppering the Rakshi with blasts of light. The sight seemed to rally the city's defenders, who surged back toward the gaps in the walls. Led by Jawa and Huki, they drove the Rakshi back. Finally, the storm was over. The Brotherhood ships had gone to the bottom of the Silver Sea. The walls around the city had been battered down, but the rubble was littered with dead Krata and shattered Rakshi armor. Those of the invaders that were intact had flown away, provided they could escape the blasters of the Jetrax, Rocco, and Axelara. Metronui was safe, And as the Toanuva confirmed, the Great Spirit had awakened. The power of the Brotherhood of Makuta was broken for all time. Turaga Duma and Turaga Vakuma appeared side by side to announce that tomorrow would be a citywide day of celebration in the Colosseum. But Holly did not feel like celebrating, even now. She could not help but remember Matoro, who had given his life that Matanui might live. And despite all the wounded and the dying among the defenders, she could not help but feel it had all been a little too easy. True, there had been some unexpected help, the airships, the Borok, the storm, but they had faced an army of Rakshi. Something told her they should not have won, at least not with so much of the city still intact. She smiled. Turaga Nokama would have chided her for worrying so much. No matter how things seemed, the Great Spirit was awake for the first time in over 1,000 years. Light had triumphed over darkness, hadn't it? The Toa had achieved their destiny and saved the universe, hadn't they? And that meant all was well again. Nothing very bad could happen now, could it? Holly turned to head for Gametru, humming a song Nokama had once taught her, one written long ago that spoke of hope for tomorrow. Perhaps, if not for the music, she might have heard the sound of dark laughter on the wind. To be continued in Reign of Shadows.